So unfortunately, the 31st of December has come and gone. We haven't received the applications for the treaty licences from the US government, and nor have we received any of the payment from the US industry. So at this stage, we haven't issued any fishing licences for any US vessels to access the waters of the Pacific Island countries.
So it really is a bit of a stalemate at the moment with no fishing at all. What's likely? Is it likely that there will be some sort of agreement made, even if it is coming to agreement and saying the Pacific Island nations agreeing to the reduction in the number of fishing days, just so the money starts to flow through?
Yeah, look, I think everybody's committed to trying to find a way to make something work. There are certainly US vessels that are willing and able to pay the amounts that they committed to in the August negotiations. So what it really comes down to is us trying to mitigate the risk that the Pacific Island countries are carrying at the moment. So trying to test the market, so to speak, to see whether there are vessels from other countries that would take up those extra days that the US say they no longer require.
And what other countries might that be? Would that be China and Taiwan that would be pretty ready and able to, at short notice, be able to fill that gap?
China and Taiwan both have per se fleets fishing in the region, as do Japan and Korea, and several smaller fleets, including New Zealand, Spain, Ecuador, El Salvador, and so on.
And if we can go to really what the details of what happened, and if there's still questions or any answers that have come through about how, within just a matter of months, the US can have backtracked so greatly, because it was the one that was pushing for the extra fishing days. Pacific Island countries finally agreed to the 6,250, and then just in a matter of months, the US came back and said, no, we need to reduce that by nearly 2,000, so it's essentially a third. Is there any clearer exactly why it's done that?
No, look, and that's the most frustrating thing for us. We simply can't understand how the fleet could have got its expectations so wrong back in August. Basically, we're talking about 30% extra that they say that they no longer require. And, you know, in any industry, one would think that the business planning processes, you know, are slightly more accurate than that.
And in regards to the flow-on effect of what all of this means, as you say, you're hoping to find alternative vessels that might be able to pick up some of the slack here, some of those extra days, and therefore prop up the money that is now going to be missing from the US. But for those smaller countries like Tuvalu and Tokelau that really rely on this money from selling these fishing days, are they going to, if you can't find those alternatives, what kind of impact does it really mean for them?
Yeah, well, I mean, we're potentially talking about massive economic impacts on these countries. I mean, fishing access revenue for many of them is about the only non-aid revenue that the governments receive. And this is money that goes directly to paying for hospitals and schools, paying for nurses and doctors and teachers and so on. And so these countries have gone home after the August negotiation and done the right thing and budgeted on that revenue. So if we can't find alternative markets for these, then basically these governments are looking at revenue deficits for next year. And we're talking millions of dollars.
So what is the plan from here? Have you got a team working on this? And is there a deadline where you expect to have some sort of finalised agreement, whether it be with the US or alternative countries, so that these countries can, you know, amend their budgets as they need to?
Yes, so I guess we've got work going on at two different levels, a couple of different levels, actually. The main financial risk at the moment is being borne by the parties to the Nauru Agreement, because they're the ones with the most tuna resource in their waters. So they're working at the moment on some different ways to test the market, as I say, you know, things like releasing a tender document to see what demand there is out there for days. At the same time, we've been working for some time on a more sort of flexible and sustainable arrangement for the US treaty anyway, because we've recognised that it's very difficult for 40 US vessels to come together and negotiate as a block, and it's also difficult for 17 Pacific Island countries to come together and negotiate as a block. So that work will continue as we move on. And then at the same time, obviously, we've got open dialogue with the US State Department and the American Tuna Boat Owners Association, just in trying to resolve the current impasse anyway.
And in your mind, this is something that you can resolve, and that relationships will be able to be mended going into the future?
Look, as I say, I think everybody is committed to trying to find the best way forward, but it's a very unfortunate situation, and it has made some of the Pacific Island parties really question the seriousness of the US and the reliability of the US industry.